Now, if you've recently been financially stung by a malware attack, a phishing scam, or having your credit details stolen, you're not alone. According to the latest CertNZ quarterly survey, New Zealanders reported losing more than $3.3 million in the three-month period to the end of September as a result of cyber crime. Nadia Youssef, the organisation's incident response manager, says even this hefty figure is probably only the tip of the iceberg. She joins us now. Good morning. Kia ora.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. This is a lot of money, $3.3 million in just 3 months. Are New Zealanders not getting the message about cyber security, or are the perpetrators getting more sophisticated?
Oh, yeah, it is a lot of money. It's absolutely devastating when this happens to you. I think it's that scammers are just really good at what they do. And we're a bit of a trusting bunch, so it's been quite difficult to get in front of this one, for sure.
What are we seeing mostly here? There is this pretty common one where people ring up pretending to be from some company IT department or whatever and want access to your computer. How prevalent is that?
That one, the tech scam calls are pretty prevalent, and that's something that we see increasing constantly. The other big thing that's made up this financial loss figure has been from business email compromise. So that's when a business has their emails, hacked into, and the bank account number changed, so that when you go to pay money to the business, you're actually paying it somewhere else. So the money never gets back to the business in the first place. And that one can be particularly tricky to notice or to find out until maybe a month or so has passed for the organisation. So it's a really hard one to recover from.
There must be ways to mitigate that. Businesses should be taking steps to ensure that that doesn't happen.
There are a couple of things that we're encouraging everyone that uses the internet to do. So that's having long and strong, unique passwords across all of your accounts, particularly your email, your banking, your social media, the ones that we use every day that our lives are really wrapped up in. And having two-factor authentication across those things as well, which means they'll ask you for a different type of verification that it's you. Maybe a text message saying, enter this PIN code or something like that for a big financial transaction. That will just stop someone who's not you from accessing your account. And if people do that, it would get in front of a lot of the incidents that we see.
We saw a number of high-profile attacks on the likes of district health boards. The Waikato District Health Board was the big one, obviously. I know I think some banks have had some issues, potentially. What are we seeing in terms of those bigger high-profile attacks? Are they increasing? Are they being clamped down on?
It certainly feels like 2021 has been the year of some pretty major cybersecurity incidents, and I think it might reflect the changing environment that we're existing in. We're living more and more of our lives online, in the post-COVID world with working from home and doing all of that, and that means that, scammers are more opportunistic and they have a bigger attack surface to go after than they did previously. So we're seeing across-the-board increases in, attacks against home users on, things like passwords and getting into your email accounts, and similarly some of these larger scale events taking place as well. So what we need to do is just try and stay one step ahead of the attackers. And the best way that we can do that, whether we're home users or organisations, is through, having those long, unique passwords, two-factor authentication, and also updating software. When you get that little pop-up alert on your laptop or your phone saying it's time to update your software, it can be a real pain, but those working in the background will cover up a lot of vulnerabilities and issues in your software, and they're really important to do.
I see from the notes that there has been some issues with the Internet of Things. So this is your home light. Some people like to have automated light systems and Alexa and all this sort of thing, Google Home, to make their appliances work. Are people hacking into that?
Certainly. So a lot of the Internet of Things devices are not regulated. And when we connect them to our internet, they have default passwords on them, or in some cases, I think, no passwords. So the best thing that you can do if you're going to use these Internet of Things devices in your home when you get them is to change the default password to something long and strong again. And do those updates when they're available. So you might see an update pop up on your TV saying, it's time to update the software. And the other thing is, when you're connecting something, when you bring home an internet-connected device, have a think about whether you actually really need it connected to the internet. Do you need your iron, talking back to your Wi-Fi? Because if you don't, it is actually quite good.
Well, only if it tells me that it's off.
Yes.
That could be useful. for someone who sometimes forgets these things. Nadia, that's a very good point. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. Nadia Yusuf there from CertNZ. So the Internet of Things. Think about whether you need your iron to be hooked up to the internet.
I do not need my iron to be hooked up
to
the internet.
I do. I'm one of those people, if I use an iron, I probably have to check it 10 times to make sure that it is actually unplugged and not on.
You're assuming that I use an iron, which is a high level assumption, I would say.